Welcome to Concord Matters, a show seeking for concord, agreement in Christian confession. Concord mattered to Jesus and Paul, and so it does to us also. Spend these next 60 minutes as we talk matters of concord. Concord Matters, underwritten by Brothers of John the Steadfast at steadfastlutherans.org.
Good morning and welcome to Concord Matters. We're coming to you live today on Saturday, July 11th from here in steamy, hot St. Louis. We don't know what it's like if you're in a polar vortex or what, but it's pretty hot here. This is a program called Concord Matters, and we broadcast live on Saturdays, and then the program will be rebroadcast on Tuesday, in case you missed part of this. We rebroadcast on Tuesday at 2 o'clock Central, and then the program is also archived at KFUO.org. I'm your host, Pastor Charles Henriksen. I'm the pastor of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, as well as Redeemer Lutheran Church in Potosi, Missouri. And I'm also a blogger at steadfastlutherans.org, which is the website of the Brothers of John the Steadfast who underwrite this program. So you can go to steadfastlutherans, that's one word, steadfastlutherans.org, and you'll find many articles there that will be helpful to you in your Christian faith. This program is called Concord Matters. The reason for that is the Book of Concord. We're taking our listeners through the entire Book of Concord, which contain the Lutheran confessions, what our Lutheran Church believes, teaches, and confesses on the basis of God's Word. And that's why we're confident to bring you this program, not because of Lutherans so much, but because all of the teachings that we have in our Lutheran confessions in the Book of Concord are derived from and well teach the Word of God, which is for your salvation. This is the Messenger of Good News, KFUO, worldwide. Today's program, you can become involved and participate in a couple of different ways. You can call our toll-free number, 1-800-730-2727. The toll-free number worldwide, again, is 1-800-730-2727. Our local number here in St. Louis, area code 314-821-0850. That's 314-821-0850. And you can email us your comments or questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. My guests today, there are two of them, making a return appearance after his successful debut here a few weeks ago, is Pastor Matthew Wood. Matt Wood is the pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church here in St. Louis County in Maplewood, Missouri. Welcome, Matt.
It's good to be here again.
Yeah, you did a fine job last time, and I know you enjoyed it, and we're glad to have you back. Tell us a little bit about your church, Concordia in Maplewood.
Concordia in Maplewood is a faithful congregation of believers just about a mile and a half south of the seminary in Clayton. We're the closest LCMS church to the seminary. We have divine service on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We gather around Word and Sacrament every week and bless God and receive His wonderful gifts that He gives to us.
And if people wanted to find more about your congregation, do you have a website?
ConcordiaMaplewood.org is the website.
Great. Yes. Very good. Glad to have you back. And then you had recommended to me a friend of yours who's a pastor in California, and that is Pastor Jaime Nava, N-A-V-A, who is the pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Yucaipa, California. Welcome, Pastor Nava.
Thank you. Good morning.
And did I pronounce Yucaipa correctly?
You did. You nailed it.
What sort of pronunciations do you get for that town?
you know, Yucaipa, Ukiah, anything you can think of, really. I mean,
yeah. Sure you say Yucaipa, I say Yucaipa. Let's call him church.
Right.
And what is the weather like out? Where is Yucaipa in the great state of California?
Well, we are in Southern California, dude. And
gnarly.
Yeah. We're not that close to the beach, and not everybody surfs out here, by the way, okay? But it is really nice. You'll pass us by if you go from L.A. to Palm Springs. You'll just cruise right by us.
Orange County?
Close.
Close.
San Bernardino County.
Okay. Is that in what they call the Inland Empire out there?
Yeah, it's the armpit of California.
And I have heard it gets a little bit hot once you get away from the coast, and I've heard that California has really had a lot of unusual heat this year. What's the weather like there in Yucaipa?
Well, it's been going back and forth. It's kind of crazy, but it's been getting close to 100 some days. But today, you know, right now, it's feeling great, man, 70-something.
Well, you're still early in the day out there.
Yeah, that it is.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Yucaipa.
Good Shepherd, we've been here, started in the 50s. I just had my 3-year anniversary here earlier this month. And, you know, we're folks that gather around Word and Sacrament, blessed by Christ. That is our focus, and, you know, sticking with the Book of Concord because it matters, right?
Yes.
And, you know, education and serving one another, serving others, and most importantly, being served by Christ and his gifts. That's what we do.
Good. And does your congregation have a website?
We do. It's goodshepherdyucaipa.com.
And Yucaipa is Yucaipa. Yes?
Right. That's it.
Very good. And Pastor Wood, you had called my attention to Pastor Nava. How do you two guys know each other?
We actually got to know each other really well when we studied abroad together at Westfield House in Cambridge, England.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And neither of you has that British accent. So
yeah, we didn't keep it for long.
You were there a year during seminary days, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, very good. All right. Well, let's get on with our program. Again, if you want to reach us, the number is 1-800-730-2727. Locally in St. Louis, 314-821-0850. You can email us your comments or questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. Now, we're going through the Small Catechism, Luther's Small Catechism. And in the Catechism so far, Luther has covered the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. And now he's moved on to treating the sacraments, and he has a chief part on Holy Baptism, Holy Absolution, and Holy Communion. So those are what we call the six chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism. Today we're still dealing with the sacrament of holy baptism, which the program last week started out. So today's topic is the sacrament of holy baptism in Luther's Small Catechism. Pastor Wood, what do we mean by this term sacrament? What makes something a sacrament?
Well, Luther really, when he was defining the term sacrament, he loved to quote Saint Augustine, who said that when the word is added to the element or the natural substance, it becomes a sacrament. That is a holy and divine thing. The Lutherans who are listening, who remember confirmation class, probably remember the three things you need to make a sacrament. You need God's institution. You need a visible element to which God himself has joined the word or the promise. And you also need the forgiveness of sins promised in that word. So you have a sacrament is something instituted by God, which God himself has joined his word to a visible element and in which he offers the forgiveness of sins earned by Christ.
Yeah, that saying of St. Augustine, mm-hmm. or St. Augustine, or however you want to pronounce it, the word is added to the element,
right,
and it becomes a sacrament. That really covers two of those points, the visible element, in this case, mm-hmm. water, and the Word of God, which institutes it and gives it its power. And then, as you mentioned, the third thing about it delivers the forgiveness of sins won by Christ on the cross. Mm-hmm. Now, Pastor Nava, there are other churches that either don't consider what we consider as a sacrament, and then there's, of course, the Roman Catholic Church, which considers even more things as sacrament than we do. Could you expand a little bit on that?
Sure. You know, I personally, I think every church has a sacrament, whether they know it or not, because they try to find assurance for forgiveness of sins somewhere. You got to find it somewhere, because we are fallible people. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has it down to seven. But, you know, I think, like evangelicals and other folks, whatever is the center of their life, and even, you know, physically in their sanctuary, that's their most important thing. So if you got pastor's pulpit there and he's got his floppy Bible in his hand and he's, you know, talking and talking about whatever, somewhere Jesus is going to come out there at some point. I mean, they do have the Word. It's mingled, but it's still the Word. And this is where people go to look for assurance, to know that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, is it a sacrament in the same sense that we see it? No, because there's no forgiveness. There's no promise. There's no command of God, as Pastor Wood said. And it's not instituted by Christ in the same way.
Well, certainly preaching is institute. You know, we talk about word and sacrament as the means of grace, and so the preaching and teaching of God's word,
absolution,
is a means of grace. But I think the distinctive thing here would be the physical element, baptism with water, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper with bread and wine,
and also the specific forgiveness of sins that actually happens. In the preaching office, we can talk about forgiveness of sins and we can assure the forgiveness of sins, but where we look to for actually having our sins being forgiven in a moment in time when God comes to us, that's when we receive communion, when the water of baptism is poured out on our heads, and when the pastor says, "I forgive you," during the confession and absolution. So the preaching is commanded, but it's not a sacrament because there's not an explicit promise of the forgiveness of sins coming from, like, the pulpit.
Well, I would say that it depends on what is preached.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you preach Christ has forgiven you, which we should, preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins, that certainly delivers, that is the preaching of the gospel, and that is saving and with Christ's promise. But what I was getting at is that, for example, there are things instituted by God, with God's command, his institution, for example, holy matrimony, which the Roman Catholic Church considers a sacrament. But we would say that marriage is not limited to the Christian church. Certainly there is a model of the relationship of Christ and the church, but it does not directly deliver the forgiveness of sins.
Right.
I think marriage certainly requires the forgiveness of sins, but it doesn't. Just getting married doesn't deliver the forgiveness of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so what separates us from the Catholic faith is that the Catholics are not going to be so strict about the forgiveness of sins, and also God's institution, man's institution is good enough for a sacrament in the Catholic Church, such as confirmation. Confirmation was not commanded by Christ, but it was an early tradition, but a later tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
And what separates us from more evangelical traditions is they just, it seems to me, have a very difficult time accepting the visible signs, that God could attach his word to something visible and concrete.
Which is an inconsistency, isn't it? Because if you say that God cannot operate through earthly means or finite means, that the infinite is not capable, that the finite is not capable of the infinite, then you have a real problem with the person of Christ being both true God and true man. Pastor Nava, any comment on that?
Yeah, Christ's incarnation and the sacraments are, if we get to the term sacrament, it means mystery. how is it that God, with all his attributes, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, is able to be human, finite, and, you know, then we get to the cross and his work there. The same thing for baptism. How is it that God can somehow fit himself into water or, you know, bread and wine to offer forgiveness of sins? It's just a mystery. It's the way that we can't explain God in Jesus. I mean the human terms.
Yeah, that God is actually working in a saving way, but also in a hidden way through these things we call sacraments. Mm-hmm. You can't observe someone's sins being washed away when the water hits their head, but God's word promises that that is actually what is happening. And that leads us right into what we're going to get into today, the power of God's word in holy baptism. And then what does it mean for our daily life as baptized Christians, that this is not just a one-time event, but baptism has a continuing effect every day of our life. And those are the topics that come up in the third and fourth sections in the Small Catechism on Holy Baptism. Last week, the program here covered the first and second sections of Holy Baptism in the Catechism. And so we're not going to spend a lot of time on those. Those were covered at length last week, but I just want to briefly review those because it leads into then the third question today. So just reading the first section under the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, as the head of the Sacrament of Holy Baptism, as the head of the family should teach it in a simple way to his household. And now first, what is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word, which is that word of God. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that's in Matthew 28, verse 19. So just a brief comment from each of you on what's going on in this first section, what Luther's point here is. Pastor Wood.
I would say Luther's main point here is giving us the dignity of baptism, where it comes from. I mean, what it is. It's water connected with God's word and command. Mm-hmm. So, and if this alone, if all we had was this alone, God's command, that would be enough for us. But he gives us so much more, as we'll go on in the second and third. But first of all, Luther sets out this, what is baptism? This is what it is. God's word, water, and command.
Okay. Pastor Nava, what's the point of this first section?
I agree with what Pastor Wood said. This command combined with God's word. So it's not just water. This is not just an ornament. This is actually doing something, and God actually himself gives it to us to do.
So God has commanded baptism. It's not something that the church invented or made up. In fact, Christ himself commanded it. And so it's the water connected with God's command, but also with God's word of promise, which is implicit, really, when you're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, because to know God as the triune God who saves, that is great promise there. Mm-hmm. All right.
And to have his name on you, oh, that's so good.
Yes, yeah. So the first section here is about the nature of baptism, what it is. And Luther will follow this pattern also, for example, on the same pattern of what it is and then what it promises in the section on Holy Communion. So the first section is what it is, the nature of baptism. Now, second, what benefits does baptism give? It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. Which are these words and promises of God? Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16, verse 16. All right, so if we said that the first section is about the nature of baptism, what it is, what's Luther's point here in the second section, Pastor Wood?
What it's for. What are the benefits? What does it do? Mm-hmm. It brings about the forgiveness of sins, redeems from death and the devil. This is what baptism does. It's not a sign of these things. It's not a result of these things. It doesn't point to these things in a metaphorical or superficial way. Baptism does these things. It works these things. Forgiveness of sins, redemption from death and the devil, and eternal life.
So something is actually happening,
right,
when someone is baptized. It's not just like an illustration, mm-hmm. or it's not primarily our action. It's what God is doing through baptism. Pastor Nava, what does God do in baptism? What are these benefits?
Well, the first thing we go to is forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the first thing, and that's a good thing to go to first, obviously. But that's not all it does. It also rescues from death and the devil, and it gives eternal salvation. And what I love that Luther says here, he's using the present tense. I'm sure he was baptized as an itty-bitty baby.
One day old he was, actually.
What's that?
Luther was baptized on November 11th. In fact, that's how he got the name Martin, because that was the festival of St. Martin of Tours. He was born on November 10th and baptized the next day.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that, see?
Well, now you do.
I'm sure I read it somewhere, but, you know. You know, Pastor Dr. Pless wrote an article, and he really emphasizes this present tense of baptism. So we don't say, I was married. You say, I am married.
Yeah.
Even though the ceremony took place however many years ago. How many years was that, honey? I don't remember. Anyway, this is it does. It keeps giving. It keeps rescuing. It keeps forgiving. It gives this eternal salvation. And it's not something that happened in the past. It's not something that we have to wait for either. We are brought present tense into Christ, into heaven, the kingdom of heaven, now. And it's every day that this happens. And it's God who works. This is the first two words. It works.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we add our own whatever, our own works or our own giving to God, and we look at it as, you know, something that motivates God to love us more or something like that, we reduce the work of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We knock the cross down a peg, I guess, if you want to use that language. But
one thing I love about this statement in the Catechism about Holy Baptism, where it says, it works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation. It reminds me, and I bring this up when I teach the Catechism, that sounds just the same, really, as what Luther says about what Christ has done under the second article of the mm-hmm. Creed, where it says in Luther's explanation, Jesus Christ is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. Now watch this. Purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, and then going on to the next paragraph, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And that really corresponds to the three benefits Luther brings up here on baptism. Forgiveness of sins, like what he said in the second article, redeems me from all sins. And then he says on baptism, rescues from the death and the devil. And in the second article, he says, redeems me from death and from the power of the devil. And then about the eternal life, eternal salvation, where Luther says under the second article, and serve him in everlasting righteousness and innocence and blessedness. And I think Luther's point here is that baptism delivers the exact same benefits that Christ won for us on the cross. And I think we're going to be coming up on our break here. We'll come back now with our sections for today, the third and fourth sections on the Sacrament of Holy Baptism here on Concord Matters on Worldwide KFUO.
This is By the Way, and you know there never seems to be enough time. Do you have that frustration? Some in our world have too much time on their hands, but for most of us, there never seems to be enough of it. So what do we do? Well, we've all heard the common advice to prioritize. We're told to devote our time to the most important things in life, and that sounds nice, but it's not quite as easy as it sounds. I wish I could give you a simple equation for success, but I can't. Still, there's one thing I would like to say. Spending time on those things most in keeping with God's will is spending time wisely. This is By the Way.
Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to join us for Issues Etc. weekday afternoons from 3 to 5. Issues Etc. is a live call-in show with a twofold purpose. First, we defend and teach the truths rediscovered during the Reformation, grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. Second, we challenge today's postmodern culture with its unbiblical ideology.
Issues Etc. live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO Radio.
Serving with heart, that's Lutheran Senior Services. As one of the largest not-for-profit senior housing networks in the nation, Lutheran Senior Services lives out its mission every day through independent living, assisted living, skilled nursing, affordable housing, in-home services, and hospice care. Building on a legacy of more than 150 years, Lutheran Senior Services helps older adults live life to the fullest. Learn more at lssliving.org.
So, Justin, I was playing that video game Forest Brigade, and it was pretty cool. I was running down this, like, digital path, and I met this digital frog, and he was all like... And then I went playing in this virtual stream where this water, it looked almost real. It was this whole electronic forest world. So what did you do?
Well, my parents took me to the forest, the real forest, where I was running down this... Well, it was an actual path. Then I saw this real-life frog. It was all like, ribbit, and I saw an owl too. Then I played in this amazing stream with water around my ankles, like wet water. Then me and my sister and my parents sat around a campfire and told cool stories all night long.
Oh, that's pretty cool, too.
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Philip ran to the Ethiopian and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" Like the Ethiopian eunuch, there are millions of people around the world who want to understand what the Bible says, but they need someone to guide them. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates books like Luther's Small Catechism, which opens Scripture's meaning. Help introduce people to the Savior. LHFmissions.org.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with Worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Concord Matters. I'm your host, Pastor Charles Henriksen. My guest today, Pastor Matt Wood of Concordia Maplewood, Missouri, and Pastor Jaime Nava of Good Shepherd in Yucaipa, California. We're talking about the Sacrament of Holy Baptism out of Luther's Small Catechism. We've reviewed the first and second sections in the Catechism on baptism. Now we come to new material, starting with the third section. And I'll read this here, and then we'll get into discussion of it. In the meantime, we do invite your comments and questions. 1-800-730-2727, or locally here in St. Louis, 314-821-0850. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Now, the third section in the Catechism on Holy Baptism. Third, how can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things, along with the faith which trusts this Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water and no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, that is, a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. And Luther here is quoting Titus 3, verses 5 through 8. Now, Luther here opens with this question, how can water do such great things? Pastor Nava, what does he mean by such great things?
Well, obviously, you're right, the forgiveness of sins, life-giving water rich in grace, a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
We are changed from enemies of God to children. We are brought in, marked by the Holy Spirit, and we're saved. Mm-hmm. We're given forgiveness. So that is very, very great stuff.
And Pastor Wood, with his opening question here, how can water do such great things? How does that relate back to what he's just said in the previous section?
Well, the previous section was all about the benefits, mm-hmm. forgiveness of sins, redemption from death and the devil. And someone might say, wait, it's just water.
Mm-hmm.
In this section, Luther is offering a defense or an explanation as to what makes this water special.
What does enable or empower this water, that it's not just water by itself, what is it that makes it be able to deliver the goods?
Right. That's the Word of God and the promise and the command. So the Word of God enters alongside the water, and words aren't physical. You can't feel them. You can hear them, mm-hmm. but you can't feel them. You can't see them. So God, for our benefit, has attached them to a very visible, tangible thing. And in the water, the Word is joined and pours out over us and washes us clean of our sins will remain with us even in our death it will bring to us eternal salvation.
So it's the powerful and creative and life-giving Word of God that is the power in baptism. As you were speaking, I'm reminded of a story from the Old Testament where somebody might have said these exact words, how can water do such great mm-hmm. things? And that was the Syrian general Naaman. Remember, he had leprosy. And he was told to go wash in the Jordan mm-hmm. River, and he would be healed of his leprosy. And he said, what's this? And we got better rivers back in Damascus.
Right.
But the point you're making here is that when God attaches his Word of promise to even a physical means, as humble as it, I mean, there are much better rivers in Damascus.
Right.
I've been to the Jordan River. It's not that impressive.
Right.
But when God's Word is attached, his Word of promise and command is attached to even a visible element, such as mm-hmm. water, that's what gives it the power.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, later Luther will talk about like our parents. Our parents are no one special in and of themselves. They're the same flesh, the same noses, the same body parts as any other human. What makes our parents special is God's command. Mm-hmm. Honor your father and mother. That command changes how we view our parents. Likewise, God's command and promise completely changes the reality of this water.
I think at the heart of Luther's whole theology is the power and efficacy of God's word.
Right.
That's really at the heart of all of his teaching. Pastor Nava, in thinking about this illustration of Naaman, where you have water and God's word of command and promise and doing great things, we said that God's word is powerful and creative. Take us back to Genesis 1. Do we see something going on there about the powerful and creative word of God?
Yeah, right.
Even with connected with water.
The spirit hovering over the face of the deep. And what does God do? How does he create, as you said, this creative word? It's by his word. When God speaks, things come into being. So let there be.
Yeah.
And it was.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same. This is the way God has been working since then, is that through his word and his promises, things happen.
Yeah.
Curses, which sometimes he rescinds. You know, people plead to him and he doesn't, you know, bring certain judgment. But when his word of promise to give life and forgiveness is there, it's there for good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, he says the word of God in and with the water does these things. And then he adds this little phrase that sometimes we skip over, along with the faith which trusts this word of God in the water. What do you make of that, Pastor Wood?
Well, the faith is defined in the Augsburg Confession as that which receives the promises.
Yeah.
So often in our particularly American context, we like to define faith as cognitive, something that we know that we're doing, a choice that we make. But that's not how Christendom has traditionally thought of faith. Faith is something that God creates in us. And it's it's a mystery. It defies psychological explanation. Faith is created by God's word and given to us, which then clings all the more to mm-hmm. God's word and promise, mm-hmm. which is given to us in baptism. So where if there is no faith, then the benefits of baptism don't take hold.
So somebody right? could be baptized and then fall away from the faith, reject
right.
the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the word of God in and with the water in baptism is the powerful creative force mm-hmm. in it. How God delivers the goods, but then faith is the receiving instrument.
Right.
But even that receiving instrument is a gift of God, created
right.
by God.
Mm-hmm.
If you read Ephesians 2, that you are saved by grace through faith, which itself is the gift of mm-hmm. God.
Right, well, it's you cannot receive a gift unless it's given to you, right?
Yeah.
So, like, even if we say receiving is somehow a choice of ours, it's not. We can't choose to receive something.
We were dead
until
in our
it's
trespasses
given. Right.
and sins.
Right, and God gave to us life.
Interesting talking about this conjunction of water and the Word and the Holy Spirit, as we saw in Genesis 1. Jesus really goes that way when talking about being born again in John chapter 3. Pastor Nava, would you comment on that?
Yeah, so by this talk with Nicodemus, Nicodemus comes to see him at night. And they're having this conversation. Jesus says, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus asked the question, how? Am I supposed to crawl back into my mother's womb? And this is where Jesus ties in the washing, this water, where through this water we are born again. Of course, there are there's other passages talking about, you know, like Titus chapter 3, mm-hmm. talking about this sense of washing, this renewal, where through this water, we
and,
are...
And spirit, water and spirit. And spirit. Yep.
Born of and water the spirit, and the spirit, right. Yeah.
Right. And through that, we are reborn. We are born from the dead. Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. Got some background noise back here.
Oh, it's okay.
Excuse me.
Yeah, so in John 3, Jesus says about being born again, born of water and the Spirit. So you've got water, you've got rebirth, you've got the Holy Spirit, and entering the kingdom of God. And that's really the same thing as Paul teaches in this quote from Titus, and what Luther uses then to teach about the power of baptism. Because in the quote from Titus, you've got that God saved us through the washing, there's a water word, washing of rebirth, that's regeneration, born again, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And notice the Trinity here. God saved us by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ. So you have all three persons of the Trinity, and we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So really here, the point in the third section on the how is the power of baptism. We've had the nature of baptism in the first question, the benefits of baptism in the second, and now the power of baptism, how it is able to do what it does. And as I was thinking during the break, I was thinking about one of the readings that we'll have in many of our churches tomorrow from Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, which reads as follows, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Now verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So the power of God's word to do things, to create mm-hmm. and to give life is brought out in that passage. And that's what the point that Luther is emphasizing in the third section. I believe we have a caller on the line. We'll get to that in a moment. So that's the third point here on baptism, the power of God's word in baptism. Now we come to the fourth question, the fourth section, and this is emphasizing this not just a one-time event in your life, but has daily power in your life. Fourth, what does such baptizing with water indicate? It indicates, or signifies, that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Where is this written? St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And that's from Romans 6, verse 4. Now, the opening question here, what does such baptizing with water indicate? You might say, what does it show forth? What does the action itself, the method, the mode of applying water in this way, why did God choose just this action for baptism? He could have done something else, but he's choosing to show forth what's going on in truth and in reality by the physical action of applying water in this way. Pastor Wood, would you care to comment on that?
Yeah, water has an amazing role throughout the history of the people of God. God brought the Israelites through water and brought them into new life in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And
that water, by the way, at the Red Sea, both killed and
right,
made saved.
Both killed and made alive. And then you have the water of Noah's flood, drowning out the evil and the wicked sin of the world, but yet preserving life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we apply water in baptism, it signifies, it shows us that the dead, old, sinful Adam is being drowned and killed.
Mm-hmm.
And
like a drowning.
Right, right. And a new life is
coming up.
Is coming up. So every baptism is also in a sense a funeral.
Yeah,
because the old man is dead.
Quotes St. Paul, we were therefore buried with Christ through baptism into death.
Right.
The old man of sin. We have a caller on the line. Let's go there. We have Cheryl calling in from Indianapolis with a comment about the liturgy of baptism. Cheryl, welcome to Concord Matters.
Thank you for taking my call. I notice in the liturgy that we have for baptism, the words and promises of God are given first, and then the pastor asks the candidate, how are you named? And then the pastor uses the name of the candidate and says, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. How important is that, that is placed before the baptism?
Either of you want to take a crack at that one? Good question, Cheryl.
Before the baptism. Well, I think... It's all one rite, one service that's happening. So I wouldn't put where it falls too much, but it is important because it is revealing what is happening to us, that we are our hearts and our minds are being changed from something that is dead to something that is alive. So that every time we're in church, we make the sign of the cross, we are reminded of this baptism, this and this daily contrition and repentance through what we think or the evil desires of our hearts are once again drowned. And so having that sign of the cross both upon our forehead and upon our heart, it could be before, it could be after baptism, but it is the importance of it is tied hand in hand with what baptism gives.
Pastor Nava, I think you absolutely nailed it there. That's that, about that this is a unitive act, one thing, and that this is a way of helping us to remember our baptism on a daily basis with the sign of the cross and the name of the triune God, and that we've been saved by that name and by Christ crucified. Thank you, Cheryl, for that call. Pastor Wood, I thought making the sign of the Holy Cross was too Catholic.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are very Catholic and about us. Catholics look a lot like Lutherans is what I like to say.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good traditions that the Christian Church has had before Martin Luther. And making the sign of the cross in order to remember our baptism and to remember where the gifts of God were won for us is a very wholesome and good thing.
Yeah.
Now it's not commanded, so if it really just bugs you, right, you don't have to love making the sign of the cross. But I think it's a beneficial thing that Christians have been doing for a long time, even after the Reformation, Lutherans made the sign of the cross.
Yeah, in fact, Luther puts that into the daily prayers.
Right, make the sign of the Holy Cross.
So I think our church, the Lutheran Church, has improved in its practical piety in recent decades on that. And I see more and more Lutherans making the sign of the cross, recognizing that's just simply a Christian custom.
Right.
Nothing connected to the whatever errors there might be in the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah, it's not a ward, right? I mean, you don't make the sign of the cross and you don't have like some +2 protection or something like that. It's a reminder of the name that we were given in baptism.
Yeah. Now, in this fourth section on baptism, saying that the action of baptism, baptizing with water, indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die. Now, Pastor Nava, maybe somebody's not familiar with this term, the old Adam. Why does Luther use this term? What does it mean, the old Adam?
Well, Romans chapter 5, which is leading up to where Luther goes in Romans 6, right? So Romans chapter 5 says this, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. This old Adam is our connection to the Adam who, in the garden, rebelled against God. And so we have this connection in terms of sin to Adam and Eve. And each of us, through this sin, have this wage, this cost of sin, which is death.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, even after, you know, being brought into the church, being forgiven by Christ, we still struggle with this simultaneously saint and sinner thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a part of us that doesn't do, like the reading from last Sunday.
Romans 7, yeah.
Doesn't want to do what is good. And so this is that old Adam, that connection to the fall.
And so how does that relate to baptism, Pastor Wood, on a daily basis?
Well, yeah, what Luther says is daily we are to rise
put
man.
Put to death
right.
The old Adam.
Daily, yeah, put
and
to death.
On we the don't, positive side, right. Rise as the new person.
Right. We don't get baptized every day, but every day we realize the significance of our baptism, that old man is dead, and we are connected to new life in Christ, as Romans chapter 6 will say. So the old man has been killed by Christ, and daily we remember that, and we also daily look forward to when we will finally and fully realize it. And that would be the day of Christ's return, when our flesh is finally restored and created anew without any connection to that old Adam.
So it indicates and actually produces, baptism does, this new life, rise to newness of life, walking in righteousness with Christ every day, and also, what would you say, portends or promises eternal life in the resurrection. Mm-hmm. You know, we rising spiritually every day, we will rise spiritually and bodily unto eternal life in at Christ's return. And this is why we use this particular verse in our funeral liturgy as well. Go ahead, either one of you on
that. Yeah, this is connecting our baptism with the baptism of Jesus, that we have the Spirit that came to Jesus in his baptism, remained upon him through his temptations and trials, through his ministry, through his death, and he was raised by the power of that Holy Spirit. And he gives to us that same Holy Spirit, which remains on us.
Yeah.
Right? And so that same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, he also gives to us, and it will remain with us through our whole lives, continually regenerating our will, and even in our grave, the hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, says, open-eyed, my grave is staring. Even there, baptism calls out, and by the
still
power of the Holy
work.
Spirit, right, will we will be raised from the dead.
Yeah. One of Luther's favorite, as we wrap up here, one of Luther's favorite sayings was two words in Latin, baptizatus sum, and the sum is the present tense, I am baptized. Mm-hmm. I was baptized on a certain date, but that has the continuing effect. And so this is why we Lutherans make a big deal about baptism, is that God is working in it. He's giving life by the power of his word, and that this has an ongoing effect in our life. Thank you today to Pastor Matt Wood. Good to have you here again.
My pleasure.
And Pastor Nava, glad to meet you over these airwaves this morning.
Thank you.
Good. You'll come back next week for Concord Matters when we take up confession and absolution. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO.